We're here with my congressman, Richie Neal, from the 1st District of Massachusetts. Richie, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And as chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, I know how important you are. And I know that everybody in the parlance of politics wants a piece of you. And so the fact that you give us some time is really wonderful, and we so appreciate it. Okay. So, given the fact that the Republicans are at war, you find Liz Cheney being thrown out of her leadership position. How are the Democrats doing? You got AOC and all like that, the squad. Are the Democrats in fractional trouble too?
I think that we certainly have factions. There's little doubt about that. But I also think that we have a really strong legislator that oversees the caucus, Speaker Pelosi. She's gifted. I think that she is driven. I think that she is tireless in her efforts to cobble together a working majority on our side, despite the fact that there are disagreements from time to time. But I don't think that we can understate the importance of somebody who has that breadth of control and management over the Democratic caucus. I think that her positions are reasonable. I think that she understands the ups and downs of legislative life. There aren't many people who can say that they were speaker, reverted to minority leader, came back as speaker. That in and of itself is an extraordinary achievement. But anybody who's ever been to a Democratic caucus, you would ascribe that meeting to Tip O'Neill's admonition during his time as speaker when he said, if he was the leader of a party in Europe with Democrats, that there'd be five different parties. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that we come from geographic parts of the country, and the nation has always been more divided by geography than it has oftentimes been divided by political philosophy. And I think that she oversees that. I think that as conductor of the orchestra, she has to make sure that these tunes are all played in unison. And I think that's one of the differences in the Democratic Party right now and the Republican Party. I think that she's got a strong grip on the Democratic Party.
So, Richie Neal, what's next? I mean, she said she was only going to run one more time. That's the last time. I'm sure a lot of people are pressuring her to stay on. Will she leave?
I don't know. I mean, she was pretty careful in her comments a couple of weeks ago as to how she managed that statement, which I thought was interesting. And the Democratic Party never took a position on a would-be successor. If you remember, even after she said this would likely be her last term, I think that again, the sheer force of legislative skill, knowledge, and indeed, I think it's fair to say personality as well, have been very important to us. I mean, I can't. As one who helped to write the Affordable Care Act, I can't tell you how important her influence was to getting that over the goal line. I often think that it was her influence, perhaps more so than any other, that kept cobbling together legislation that eventually could pass the House and then, in a very complicated procedure, pass the Senate as well.
I know I've asked you before about the commission, the January 6th commission, and the fact that the Republicans are lining up against it. And then Kevin McCarthy, obviously the leader of that group, is largely responsible for that, probably listening to what the President of the United States told him to do. But there's a question as to whether he individually should be called either by a commission or by the Democrats to testify on what he said to the president and the president said to him when he called him to say, call off the dogs.
I think it would be very helpful. I think that the Republican leaders had a series and number of positions that he's adopted publicly on that question. One day, suggesting that he called the president to urge his supporters to stop the insurrection. And then just within a matter of days after that, he traveled to Mar-a-Lago to apparently pursue the blessing of the former president. And then afterwards, in an effort to placate members of his own caucus, he's had varying positions on it. So the best way to get to this, and you know what? Let's put some people that are objective on this. This doesn't have to be a commission that's prescribed by the Democratic State Committee in Massachusetts or the Republican State Committee in Alabama. Let's put on academicians. Let's put together some experts on what happened. And you know what? Give them the ability to secure honest testimony as to what really happened. I mean, there have been 400 people that have been charged so far. And I didn't see, I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't see one of those signs on January 6th that said Biden for president.
Yeah, that's right. Well, look, Richie Neal, if McCarthy is called, he'll have to say again what the president said to him and what he said to the president. And that is something he doesn't want to do because he would have to perjure himself, I would assume, if he doesn't want to tell.
That's the point. I mean, I think in an open and independent inquiry, that soliciting the testimony of those who had knowledge of what happened is important. I mean, our democratic ideal works upon that basis.
Okay, so infrastructure is the next big Biden priority. Is he going to get it?
Yes, he is, and I intend to see it through. We will have broad responsibility at the Ways and Means Committee for the revenue projections that will accompany the final agreement. I've been in touch with the Speaker extensively. The authorizing committee, which, by the way, at my effort, has three members on it, the Infrastructure Committee. We have Seth Moulton, Steve Lynch, and Jake Auchincloss. They're all on it at this very important time, and they, I believe, will begin what was known as the markup in legislative life. That means writing the legislation, and then shortly thereafter, the Ways and Means Committee will take up their responsibility in the legislation, and I have noted I intend to get this over the goal line. The country needs it. It used to be something that we could all agree upon in Congress, and we currently have third-world infrastructure. And I think that there's broad agreement on necessity. Now we've got to make sure that there's broad agreement on getting the necessary revenue to pay for it.
We certainly agree on that. I got to tell you, in my little town of Great Barrington, we have three very suspicious bridges.
Yes, that's exactly the point. There's more than 40,000 yes. across America.
Yeah. Yeah, and all you got to do is see it for yourself and see you got to go around the long way or not at all as a result
That's
of that.
Right.
So there are those Republicans who say that the bill is a liberal wish list. Is it?
No, I don't think it's a liberal wish list. I think it speaks to the physical side of infrastructure, but it also speaks to the reality side of infrastructure. It's not just the road that we travel over to go to work. It's the child care that allows us to stay at work. I mean, these are the realities that we've learned after the pandemic. The Bible called the pandemic pestilence. This wasn't about malfeasance. It wasn't about corruption. It was about an international health challenge. And I think that we've discovered that the number of women that had to give up work because they couldn't get child care when schools closed, I think the number of people who worked in the restaurant industry, for example, that had to give up work because their jobs were, for all practical purposes, eliminated. I think labor participation rates tell the real story here. So I think that as we repair from the pandemic, which we are now on the verge of, the growth in terms of eventually supply is going to catch up with demand. And I think we're in for a pretty strong rebound, but not to miss the point that we can enhance that by greater efficiencies in infrastructure. The only way that you improve quality of life is to include and pursue an upgrade in productivity. And I think that the efficiencies that will come with enhanced transportation will increase productivity.
It's Richie Neal. He is my congressman. He's the chairman of the powerful Ways and Means Committee in the United States House of Representatives. And Richie, we couldn't be more pleased to have you with us today. You know, we're going to ask you to come back one more time in this round, and we sure hope you'll be there.
Be delighted.